Bring on Danny West of hogsports.com. Danny, thanks for joining us.
You bet, man. How are you?
Doing good. Let's see. You got to do a little drive time yesterday.
Yeah. Big announcement from Trey Biddy with his newborn baby, Annabelle Rose, I believe, born at around 4:30 yesterday morning. So congratulations to Trey. I guess he's going to take a little time and enjoy it a little bit, so I don't mind filling in for him.
And obviously he should. Anytime that you experience that joy, and I know this is his first, you always want to spend time, but mom is doing well and baby's doing well.
Yeah, everyone's doing well. I know they're really excited right now. So I haven't talked to him, haven't seen the baby in person yet, but beautiful kid. Looking forward to getting over there and meeting her.
Danny, you let something out on Twitter, I believe, yesterday about a quarterback in the state of Arkansas that Arkansas mm-hmm. wants to come up next week. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, Jay Burgess from Greenwood High School, junior right now, will be a senior this coming fall. He talked to Coach Chaney last night or yesterday evening sometime, and Chaney said, hey, we want you to come up and just kind of get to know us a little bit and vice versa. I don't anticipate them, you know, offering or anything this early. Jabe does have an offer from Illinois and Tulsa, so he's a legit prospect. But I think right now they're just kind of in the early stages of getting to know him and you know, just going to invite him up and have him check out the facilities, get to know the coaches a little bit and get a little background on him. But this is a guy, he's a pretty talented quarterback, 6'2", 195. He's actually cousins with Tyler Wilson, grew up with Tyler, so obviously that. And, you know, the fact that he played with Drew Morgan, you know, being able to throw it around to Drew a little bit and turn around and hand it off to him, that probably caught a lot of teams' interest on film. So, he'll be up here next Wednesday, I believe he said.
Now, what are his strengths? Is it really kind of a drop-back passer, or is he kind of athletic? Can he run around a little bit?
Yeah, he can move a little bit. Now, he's not a Matt Jones, but I think he's around a 4.8 guy. He's got a little bit of movement in the pocket, but more than anything, he's a pocket passer.
Yeah. Well, they've had success with some Greenwood quarterbacks. You know, Tyler had a great – does that factor in? You know, I know the coaches build relationships, and I know they didn't recruit Tyler Wilson, but does that factor in a little bit when a kid from a school has a lot of success there and then somebody that is playing kind of the same position from the same school a few years later, or do they just treat everything, you know, new?
Oh, no, absolutely. I do think it factors in. You know, this he's really close to Tyler, and, you know, just him as an example, grew up around Tyler, was able to come up here several times and watch him in person. So, you know, that Greenwood program has really produced a lot of players, and I'm sure they kind of look at Tyler as the leader, the guy who really came out of there and did the most. So I'm sure it would impact him.
Well, and also if you heard Brett Bielema last night and also Jim Chaney and Chris Ash, who were at the Catfish Hole, talking about recruiting in this class, one thing that Jim Chaney did say was he was very impressed with the high school coaches in the state of Arkansas, and he singled out the Greenwood football program and the job that Rick Jones has done down there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that program, and I really didn't realize it, to be honest with you, until I went down to Little Rock in December and watched them win their third straight state championship. And of course, Drew Morgan was back-to-back state MVP. And you just look at the recent history there of Coach Jones since he came over from Oklahoma, I guess. And boy, he's really turned that into kind of the new Warren in Arkansas. Warren was mainly your most dominant program there for several years, and now you kind of have to give it to Greenwood.
Danny, who might the Razorbacks be looking at for that 2014 class that still people might not know about inside the state of Arkansas and then outside the state of Arkansas?
Well, in the state, you've already offered four guys. You've got a commitment from two of them right now. The guys with offers, Josh Frazier, defensive tackle up here at Springdale Harbor, Bijan Jackson, defensive tackle, El Dorado, you've already got him. You've already got Juwan Day, running back, North Little Rock, and they have offered tight end Jack Kraus at Bentonville. Now, I would say there's four or five more guys who stand a pretty good chance of possibly being offered before it's all said and done. That would be Jarvis Cooper, West Memphis linebacker, DeAndre Murray right here at Springdale, really fast, athletic kid, kind of a Joe Adams-type guy. He plays running back for Springdale, but I've got him projected as a receiver at the next level. And then I would say Kaven Alexander there at North Little Rock, Darren McFadden's cousin. He's got 4.32 speed, according to Coach Boulding, cornerback, 5'10", 192, something like that, and just a great athlete. So there's a few guys in the state who you're still kind of hoping and got your fingers crossed for. But and then out of state, you know, they've probably offered over 70 guys from around the country, and it's kind of a weird deal in recruiting. You'll see a lot of teams throw out that many offers to guys, you know, four or five star players from around the country that maybe you probably don't have a great shot at, to be honest with you. But if you don't offer, you have zero shot at getting them. So I'm sure here in the next couple of months they'll probably shell out a lot more offers, a lot more realistic options, to be honest.
Yeah, you want to kind of build some relationships that way.
Sure.
You're exactly right. What are some guys maybe, you know, is this a deep in-state recruiting class, this 2014 class, or is it really, you know, is there only about six or seven guys that can play D1? Are there some guys maybe that will go somewhere else? I know we had Tenpenny went to Bama. Now, I'm not saying if we have somebody like that, but will we have some of these high school kids go out of state to other Division I schools that we won't offer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It is a much deeper class than they've had the last couple of years. You know, with the guys I just named, the four that I'm still kind of waiting to see if they get offered. And then you get into that next group of probably seven or eight more guys who are kind of borderline right now, Division I type offers. They're really going to have to go to a lot of camps and combines and prove themselves and then go ahead and have another good season. But I think about Chuck Soda, Jonesboro defensive tackle. He's kind of borderline. We'll see what happens with him. Ole Miss and Arkansas are showing interest. You've got Will Jones at Parker's Chapel, Jay Burgess right there at Greenwood, Josh Qualls here at Rogers Heritage, and then a few more guys, Jalen Curtis, Russellville, Fort Smith Southside, Isaac Jackson, and then Jake Hall at Harbor High School. So quite a few guys that I would probably say have a pretty good shot of landing Division I offers.
Danny, real quick, what about also, do they have like a senior camp or an invitation-only camp that they will have in the summer, like around July or June, where they'll get a chance, like you said, to look at a Chuck Soda? Do they have that where it's an invitation-only deal? How does that work?
Yeah, they'll hold their junior-senior prospect camp where they'll invite a whole bunch of guys up here in July. They've also got one in June, kind of a three-day camp where kids can come up here and register on their own and kind of prove themselves at that one. So there are a couple of camps. Then, of course, you got junior days coming up. Arkansas is actually going to take a little bit of a different route with that this year. I mean, you see LSU and teams like this bring in 300 kids at a time for junior day. Well, Arkansas is going to try to spread it out and have, you know, a dozen kids at a time, five kids at a time, just throughout spring and spring ball. So taking a little bit of a different approach there, but they'll definitely try to get all their targets up here at different times of the spring and summer.
Danny West of HogSports.com joins us. It's our Double B's recruiting roundup. Double B's, where you gas it, grab it, and go. 29 locations throughout Arkansas. There's sure to be a location close by, and Double B's stores are always fully stocked with everything you might need, and be sure and check out the Double B's in-store specials each and every time you stop by. Let's go to Corn Dog. Corn Dog, welcome to overtime.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I don't know if Danny's still on. Well, yeah,
he is.
Okay. Danny, just one quick question for you, and I wanted to talk to Matt just a bit about some basketball stuff. But do you see next year in recruiting, do you see us going after any more JUCO guys as far as, like, linemen? I'm just curious. With I know that there's a lot of skill positions that I've heard, you know, coming out of the guys that are juniors, and just you know didn't know whether it kind of depended on
sure
how well our line play is this year, or are we going to recruit some you know guys out of state, or are we going to go maybe JUCO again on that?
Yeah. Well, first, let me say you won't see them take near as many junior college
sure.
players this time around. I think they ended up with 6 or 7 in this last class. So, but I do, that's a very good question. I do think they're going to try to play catch up a little bit on the offensive tackle position, defensive tackle. They've still got a lot of work to do. So those two right there, the offensive and defensive line, I'm sure they will put out a few junior college offers this year.
Gotcha. Well, I knew they were under the gun this year as far as just trying to get some bodies in there, and
right.
I thought that might be the case also as far as recruiting. But Matt, I just want to touch real quick on this Mike Montgomery story with him supposedly shoving or pushing his player. I don't know if you saw the video.
Is that the Cal coach?
Yeah.
I saw the video. I didn't see what exactly what the player had done on the court. I didn't see that. What happened?
Yeah. It was more of a situation where he was coming off the court kind of nonchalant, and his coach was trying to get him fired up.
Yeah.
Not so much that he did anything wrong. He just, you know, he was called a timeout, and he wanted him to get over there and, you know, get on the bench and let's talk about this. And, you know, it was just kind of a nonchalant. And the way the player reacted, I think his name's Alan Crabb.
Right.
And he's supposed to be just a phenomenal kid, but, man, he kind of lost it there a little bit, and maybe he was embarrassed. That's the only I can figure, that he might have been a little bit embarrassed because it was on TV, and, you know, that kind of stuff happens in practice. I don't think it makes the news media, but, you know, he got reprimanded, you know, coach.
By the commissioner.
Yeah, by the commissioner of the league and or the conference. And so – and, you know, for somebody that, I mean, he's a 31-year coach?
Right.
Hey, Corndog, you saw it motivated his play after it happened, though. You see how he went out and played after that.
Yeah, they put him right back in. You know, as soon as they come out of that, you know, the next break, they put him right back in. And
yeah, well, it took players that were talking to him. They went back into the tunnel and talked to him, and then he comes back to the bench, and then Mike Montgomery sticks him right back in the game.
Yeah, when it comes to head coaches and being physical with players, I've seen it happen just about every week in practice. It doesn't matter if it's basketball or football. I mean, you'll see it, some type of altercation. But a game day like that,
you can't do it.
And I think it really hurts recruiting also. You know,
yeah.
You got the mama out there watching that. They're recruiting your son. The mama sees that. I don't think that helps recruiting, but now in practice, yeah, I've seen it, and I've been a part of some of those altercations.
Well, that's why
also.
I asked you, Matt. I figured that had, you know, that had gone on a little bit, and just your response to it, and would your response have been a little different if it would have happened during game day, you know? But
yeah.
I just felt a little bit strange because the guy seemed like the player overreacted. I mean, this is his head coach, and it just seemed like to me he got overly offended by a coach just trying to get him fired up.
And also, we don't know their relationship.
Thanks, Corndog.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Their relationship together with each other, how that is, because I had a good relationship with Coach David Lee, and I fumbled the ball in practice, and he grabbed me by my face mask and pretty much just threw me on the ground, you know, in front of everybody, but it's at practice. So, you know, people, you see stuff like that happen a lot, but not on game day.
What happened the next time you got in a meeting room with him?
Well, the funny thing is, Coach Lee, he was very close to his quarterbacks and to the team, and he would always have the quarterbacks over once a week for dinner. And, of course, I didn't go for the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we talked about it, you know, a couple of days. He said he overreacted and, you know, that it was because he loved me and he wants to see me do well and blah, blah, blah. You know, all that type of stuff. And it was all good. But at the time when it happens, you're emotional and you're a little embarrassed and you got all the other players there also. And your coach just grabs you by the face mask and throws you on the ground. You know, you're just like, what?
Yeah. In front of everybody. Let's go to Mike in Conway. Mike, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, Trey. Hey, man, I just had a question for Danny. I was wondering, I heard him say something about Jalen Curtis. I just wonder, what do we think his chances is that Jalen might get an offer from the Razorback? And if he had to put a star on him, what would he put on him? And I'll take the answer off air.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Well, let me tell you, I haven't seen Jalen play in person. I do think Arkansas has already shown him a little bit of interest. So they're going to want him to come up here and kind of prove himself out of camp. And from what we know about him, really, really, really fast athletic player, kind of deceptive speed, highly productive down there for the Cyclones over the last couple of years. So he'll have a chance. Really not sure, you know, as far as star rating until I'm able to see him. I have seen him on film, but then again, you hate to evaluate someone on film because it's highlights and really not low lights a lot of the time. So you want to be able to see him in person, and I'm sure he'll be at both Arkansas camps this summer.
Let's go to Boom Shakalaka. Boom.
Hey, what's up? I'm glad my distinguished colleague, Mr. Corndog, yielded the floor to me there. Hey, I wanted to know what happened in the trade deadline there. And also, Matt, I wanted to know about a rumor that went around after you were done with football about you going to Europe and playing basketball and pro basketball. When we were thinking about the deadline and all that, I started thinking, and I remembered hearing that rumor. And I wish you'd address that and just let me know that for once and for all.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Boom.
I think the only trade, really, Jordan Crawford from the Wizards went to the Celtics for Leonardo Barbosa, but Barbosa just tore his ACL. I think it's got something to do a little bit with money issues or something, but Crawford is averaging 13.2 points and 3.7 assists. He's a decent young guard, yeah.
Yeah, and J.J. Redick going to the Bucks.
I think I saw something on that too, yes. And I don't know. I don't think Josh Smith left, but I think they have to have it in by 3, but then all the stuff will start coming out in the next hour or so. But as far as going overseas and playing basketball, I thought about that. I actually went up to Oakland University. There's a coach, Darren Sorensen, was at Arkansas when I played, and I went up there and worked out there for a week or so and was kind of looking at some stuff to go. But there was never I just had gotten married, and so there wasn't a place that was – I wanted to go to, like, Australia or Sweden, somewhere that's going to be safe. And the stuff that was out there was, like, Lebanon, you know, stuff like that that I just didn't feel was the right, you know, the right move. And if I was single, if I wasn't married, then, yeah, I could have done it. But when you have a young wife and – you're both going to go across the world, halfway across the world. What are you going to do when, you know, we have a 5-day road trip or something, and she's there by herself? You know, I just didn't feel comfortable with it.
Danny, Arkansas basketball. Mm-hmm. Where might Arkansas find some help if BJ and Marshawn decide to leave?
To me, the top prospect right now would have to be Desmond Lee. He's kind of a combo guard, 6'4", 185 at New Mexico Junior College, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, NC State, Miami, these type of offers. I do think Arkansas has put itself in a pretty good position with him. We'll have to wait and see what BJ and Marshawn decide. But right now, man, I would have to say that both of those guys are probably going to go pro. I'm not sure what you've been hearing, Trey or Matt, but that would be my best guess on those two, and then you'd probably look at Desmond Lee and hope to get him signed, you know, within that April 15th, May 17th spring signing period.
I think you're probably right. I think they both test the waters. I think basketball might be a little different than the NFL as far as you can kind of put your name in the hat then pull it out also, mm-hmm. where the NFL, once you say you're going or once you sign with an agent, well, you still can't sign with an agent, but I think they'll both try. And then I think they'll both be overseas within 6 months of, you know, that trying to do that.
Okay, guys, let's break this right here. Big news. The New York Knicks send Ronnie Brewer to the Thunder for a second-round pick. This, according to Ken Berger, league sources have confirmed to him.
I saw something that Brewer was up there with Reddick. Boozer was up there as far as some possible trades, and he had kind of fallen out of favor. And Amon Shumpert just got healthy. He's a better scorer. That's why Ronnie Brewer was able to be traded, because he's kind of taken his minutes.
Yep. So Ronnie Brewer now getting a little bit closer to home, Oklahoma City.
That's awesome. Congrats, man.
Yeah, that's big time.
Yeah. Leaving New York, going to OKC. Danny, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Happy birthday, Trey.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.